And welcome back. It is the Morning Blitz here on KCOU 88.1 FM and online at KCOU.fm. We got a big game this weekend. Mizzou's first real legitimate opponent of the season. They're playing UCF. It's going to be in Columbia. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff. We're going to discuss it right now from the UCF perspective with Carson Engel. He's a writer for SB Nation's Underdog Dynasty, and he's a sports radio host down in Florida. Carson, how's it going today, man?
I'm doing great. The only thing, am I really following Kevin Harlan? I feel wholly inadequate in this moment.
Well, hey, it's tough to follow Kevin Harlan. It's tough for us to even be on with Kevin Harlan, but I'm sure you're going to do great, man. So,
all right, sounds good.
What can you tell us about the UCF offense without Storm Johnson and Blake Bortles? What should Mizzou fans be expecting this weekend?
Well, it was interesting against Penn State. UCF went with a redshirt freshman, Pete DeNovo. He did not look good in the first half and into a series of the third quarter. He went 3 of 8. They replaced him for Justin Holman. Holman went 9 of 14 for 200 yards and a touchdown in the air and on the ground. So Holman came in and asserted himself as being the guy going forward, and he looked pretty good, and they didn't have their starting running back, Will Standback, who still was a second-team all-conference guy last year, even with Storm there. They didn't have him for Penn State. They get him back for Missouri. So I would think that the Knights' offense is going to be churning a little bit more early on than they were in Dublin when they played the Nittany Lions.
And once again, we're joined by Carson Engel. He's a writer for SB Nation's Underdog Dynasty. He follows the UCF football team closely. So is that the reason why UCF had 29 carries for 24 yards last week, or was that something to do with Penn State's rush defense? Because I see that, and that jumps out on the box score.
Yeah, you know, the offensive line, they're breaking that in, too. That was really the only other area that they lost in addition to Blake and Storm, and they've broken in three new starters there. So that may play in, but they get Standback back for this week, and he's kind of a guy. You know, the other two that are there running the ball, and really Dontrevious Wilson was the only guy that got carries in the Penn State game, just not effective. So I'd say maybe pump the brakes a little bit and let's see what they get from Standback on Saturday.
And once again, we are joined by Carson Engel. He's a writer for SB Nation's Underdog Dynasty. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Carson. It's Jeff Parles here. The Knights' rush defense was pretty awesome against Penn State, limiting them to 57 yards. Is this what we should expect from the Knights' defense, more of a run-stuffing defense, more than a ferocious pass defense?
You know, I think so, although the coaching staff was disappointed with the defense as a whole, and they didn't get a very good pass rush. And I mean, Penn State threw it 47 times. So, you know, I'm not sure what to expect. I do expect a better UCF defense against Missouri just because I think there's a lot of talent there on that side of the ball, and they're really going to be tasked to improve. Even head coach George O'Leary came in this week and worked exclusively with the defensive line to try to go back to the basics and get more of a pass rush in this one. So I do expect a little bit of a better defensive effort, but certainly down here, I know a lot of the fan base is very concerned about Matty Mullock and what he can do against, the UCF secondary, and then what he can do on the ground against a UCF team that through the years has had some trouble with running quarterbacks.
And you mentioned we haven't mentioned them yet, actually, the receivers. Phil Steele, who I really enjoy his work, he ranks UCF's receiving core as one of the best in the country in the preseason. What can you tell us about that unit, and were they underutilized in week one?
It's unbelievable. It's extremely deep. It's probably one of the best-kept secrets in the country in terms of a position group. They've played together for so long. J.J. Wharton, many people will remember his catch against Temple last year that made national news, that made the nightly national news, the one-handed catch against Temple. Rashad Perriman is a, son of an NFL, a former NFL player, could go pro as a junior. Josh Reese is a guy that comes in and makes timely catches. And they get Rennell Holback this week, who they didn't have against Penn State, and he's probably their number one deep threat guy. So it's an extremely deep group, and that doesn't even mention a few more guys there. And you know what? Justin Holman got them going in the second half when he came in, so we'll see if he's able to sustain this. He's only a sophomore himself and coming in and making his first start of his career, so you know, you never know if the guy that comes in replace of one guy is able to do the same thing as a starter. So that's what we get to find out on Saturday.
So you mentioned the running back that was out in week one. He's going to be back for week two. You mentioned a wide receiver that was out for week one. He's going to be back for week two, or I guess game two for UCF after having that bye week last week.
Right.
So this offense could just be completely different than what we saw in week one against Penn State.
I think so. I mean, you know, you go back and look at the second half of the Penn State game, and that's more of what you're going to see where Holman got in literally not even the first series of the third quarter, so he came in the second series and threw for over 200 yards. He was the guy that I thought was going to start from the beginning. I actually wrote a column on SB Nation about 3 weeks prior that said he should be the guy. He was Bortles' backup last year. He got some action and some garbage time in a couple games, and he's just the guy that has the athleticism, that has the arm strength, and most importantly, has the poise that I thought to get it done. They didn't go that direction. They start him in the second half, and he comes out and does what he did. So I think that's the UCF offense that you could expect a little more on Saturday.
And once again, we're joined by Carson Engel. He's a writer for SB Nation's Underdog Dynasty, as he mentioned there. So what are the expectations for UCF games going, or UCF fans, excuse me, going into this game? What are they worried about? What are they excited about? What are they looking for in this game?
I think the two things that they're worried about, just off of the UCF perspective, because there's plenty of things after the opener to have concern about, but I think the most things that I'm hearing down here is they're concerned about Matty Mock, his ability not only to throw it, but to run it. And then the defensive ends. How are they going to impact a young offensive line, the defensive ends, Golden and Ray, that you guys have? You know, how are they going to impact this game? So I think those are the two things from a Missouri standpoint that the fan base is concerned about. But they expect to win this game. I mean, going down 0-2 to start the year in the position UCF is in now, not in a Power 5 conference, trying to be that one team that's not in a Power 5 conference to get to an Access Bowl, you have a pretty narrow margin for error to do so, and starting the season 0-2 would certainly be a difficulty towards achieving that.
So you've mentioned it a couple times, the young offensive line. What can you tell me about that offensive line, and are they any good? It's one thing to be young. Are they good?
I don't think we know yet. I mean, the jury's still out. They've got a great center centering everything, pardon the pun, and Joey Grant. You know, he's a veteran. He's a guy that is level-headed. He's a leader. So that makes everything work a little bit better, I think, when you have a young offensive line. But we simply haven't seen them enough to know. They've got a great guy that coaches that unit in Brett T. So we get to know a little bit more about them as well against Missouri.
He's Carson Engel. I got one more thing for you here before we let you go. What is your prediction for this game this weekend?
You know, I think that UCF can edge them out, but it's one of these games where I could see anything happening. I could see Missouri blowing the Knights out. I could see it being a close win for Missouri. I could see it being a close win for UCF. I think they'll be able to get it done simply because I think the expectations are raised, and to start out the season 0-2 is just almost something that has become unacceptable here in Orlando for this program based on the success that they had last year, and based on the fact that they've sort of been building to this consistency with 10 wins in 3 of the last 4 seasons.
He's Carson Engel. He's a writer for SB Nation's Underdog Dynasty. You can check his work out there. You can also follow him on Twitter. Carson, thank you so much for coming on with us this morning. Really appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks, Brandon. Enjoyed it, man.
All right, no problem. He is Carson Engel. He's a writer for SB Nation's Underdog Dynasty. So, I mean, the fact that they had a running back out, a wide receiver out, and then a new quarterback in the
first whole game for Holman.
So that's an interesting little wrinkle here that I didn't really realize.
Well, I did not realize Steinbeck was out, and it makes sense because I was watching the game and they didn't run the ball at all.
No, yeah,
and now it makes sense because Steinbeck last year, as Carson said, even with Storm Johnson there, who's one of the better running backs in the entire country last year.
Yeah.
He was still second team all conference. So if you're a Mizzou fan, 2 years ago, Mizzou went down to Orlando, won 21-16.
Yep.
This is going to be a very close game, guys. This is Mizzou is favored by 11.5 points. It's way too many points, at least in my book.
It's down to 10.
Now it's down to 10?
Yep. So that shows you that it was.
It started at 11.5, which was way too many. 10 10's still a pretty big line.
It's a big number.
It's a big number, especially after last week when Mizzou was 3.5.
We'll get back into this here in just a moment. We've given you the UCF perspective. What should Mizzou fans be looking for this weekend? We'll discuss it next on the Morning Blitz, KCOU 88.1 FM online, KCOU.fm.